teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It is time now for the Who Said It championship bout between the Killer Bees, Blank and Branham, going toe-to-toes with Cody Stutes of the Will House, who y'all got a huge guest list today. Bruce Pearl's going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be good. Who else you have on today?
Buster Olney and Tim McMahon.
Very good.
Ooh, boy, so that is a heavy hitting show.
It's mm-hmm. a big show coming up on the Will House today.
You neutralize because you have Jake.
We tried to get Coach Calipari, but he has a father-son basketball camp that he could not miss.
That's good.
I'm sure
good
the endorsement deal there is probably pretty good.
It is very good. Yeah. Now, we're going to try to, obviously, try to break the confidence of Cody Stutes heading into the show, because I feel like if he heads into the Will House later today without the title, that he's going to feel devastated and sad. And it might lead to, you know, BK and Jake having to pick up the slack. But if he goes with it with the title, then I think that he'd feel very
comfortable. Oh, my God, he did wear – he wore a singlet.
That's like Vader's. That's like Vader's wrestling.
I appreciate
it. Joel wanted the spandex. Joel got the spandex.
I don't know that I wanted it.
Move
I dare
this
you.
So all the folks can see my glorious body.
I just appreciate the nips being covered. Oh, baby, look out.
Cody Stutes is wearing a Vader bomb.
Did you borrow that from
costume.
Dyson what's-his-name's mom?
What would we say?
In the draft last night? Wow.
He looks like Vader. I think he looks like Vader. You got to do the whole show. You want to put, like, every good bout, every good match, you have to have more stakes on the line. So we're putting our title on the line.
Yeah.
I feel like if you lose, because we were kind enough to give you a title shot, that if you lose, you should have to do your entire show this evening wearing that.
Well, that's not a punishment for me, but that's maybe a punishment for the other Wheelhouse guys.
I feel like it adds to the stakes.
Yeah.
Like a hair match, you know? Loser loses their hair. Well, here.
If you aren't on Twitch and you aren't seeing this, I would just highly suggest you do.
Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
It's title versus singlet, huh?
Title versus singlet. We're putting our title on the line. You're putting your shirt on the line from 3 to 7.
No, he put it on the back of the chair, or worse, it's on the floor because he's...
I feel like that needs to happen if you lose the title.
I think Brady's trying to tell us to get going.
You got it.
All right, championship rules. That means we go first. We can't duplicate answers. Obviously, there's nothing on the Will House, and there's nothing on the Killer Bees that will be used in today's championship match of Who Said It. All right, let's get started. Brendan letting us know. It's like the Oscars music playing us off. All right, what is number one?
Number one, in regards to fees on tickets, one host said, they are basically prison sexing you if you want to go to a concert.
What do you think about that, Blankers?
Man.
Do you feel good about this one, Coates?
Mm-hmm. I do. Feel good about all of them.
Can you repeat the question?
In regards to fees on tickets, one host said, they are basically prison sexing you if you want to go to a concert.
That used to be a Palillo shtick. Remember?
Yeah,
and
Lance has a sponsor for that.
Fees.
Lance has a sponsor for that.
Oh, that's right, he does.
Yeah.
That's a good call. That's a good call. It's better than what I have. So.
I'm torn between LZ and Pauly G.
Okay.
Pauly G would be concert goer, right?
Yeah, Lance goes to concerts, too. He likes his little country western. Yeah, he talks about how he goes to a little bit of Texas country with the missus.
Garth's
Mrs. Erlein.
I'm sure everybody's jacked up, but tickets went on sale this morning. You got them?
I got four.
Oh, you got them.
Did you really?
I did. That's a big get.
That's a big get.
I wish that was in September, not in August. All right, so where are we going? It's already 05 here.
Yeah, I don't know. you want me to call it?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm like his Bobby the Brain Heenan.
We'll go Pauly G.
All right, we go. The Killer Bees go Pauly G. Brendan does have a poster of him hanging up in his bedroom.
This is Patrick Creighton because of all the people that would use the term prison sex. It's Patrick Creighton.
Not a bad call.
It's just...
Wow.
They're basically prison sexing you.
Man.
If you want to go to a concert.
There's one.
That happened quickly.
There's one.
That's all right. Killer Bees like a little adversity.
I don't feel as bad because both of my answers were wrong, so it's fine.
Killer Bees like a little adversity. We're good, you know, we're good coming back.
I don't know if I would agree with that, but...
Watch your mouth.
Now I get to go first on this one, correct?
Yes. Alternating, okay. Yeah. Alternating surf.
Number two, a man should never show his feet.
Hmm.
Ooh. There's a couple of different ways you could go about this. It's not Gallant. I know Gallant has mandals. You know, fancy sandals.
Oh, no, those are Jerusalem Cruisers.
Yeah, so I know that's him. I know. I'm almost positive I've seen Zerline in sandals before.
I don't know why you're looking at me like some sort of reassurance.
I don't think this would be Creighton. This feels like something John Granato might say. Like, it feels like something Granato might say to kind of, you know. Honestly, it's probably something Granato said to me before. So I'm going to go Granato.
Are you baiting us? Like, you already know he said this?
Well, if he is, then he sold it really good.
Yeah, you sold it, but you don't have to because you're picking first, and we can't pick who you pick.
Yeah, but it's good for radio.
Oh, God. Why are you answering for him, PR guy? Can I have it one more time?
I'm not answering for him. He answered for himself.
A man should never show his feet.
That could be Vanessa.
I think so, too.
So he could be now.
I think that's really good. Mm. I was thinking the same thing because Paulie would show his feet.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't be afraid to tell him that.
See, I feel like Granato would wear sandals after like golf. So
if they were Gucci,
sure, yeah, they could be Gucci, but still Gucci sandals or sandals,
right?
I feel like he would do it. See, my guess was actually either Vanessa or Lance. I'm not sure I've ever seen Lance in.
He wears bright red socks that are pulled up too high with different colored shoes. But yeah, I don't think he. I've never seen him wear sandals. I think Vanessa as well too.
All right, let's go Vanessa.
Guess.
I think that a man should never show, like, no one wants to see right your there. Ugly ass.
Yeah, you were.
Feet.
You were on the cusp.
Wow.
I was right there.
We both took a swing and a miss on that one.
I talked myself out of that one.
Jeez.
Yeah, you should have just put your foot down and I'd have gone with it.
Man should never see his feet get put
true.
Down.
True. Very good point.
Number three, I cried watching draft day. It doesn't take much to tear me up.
This is us.
Yeah. Well, that's a show on NBC. They tear up for that, too.
Could it be a fill-in host?
Not this week. I'm strongly considering allowing it next week.
Ooh.
I tear up in draft day.
I mean, it's got
that sounds like something Paul would say.
Paulie's super soft.
You think Paul?
Yeah, I mean, he's a cat guy.
Yeah, and I don't see Granato crying over draft
no,
day.
No, I think he
Lance
makes fun
lives
of criers.
Draft day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should go Paul. You good with Paul?
Yeah.
Gallant? All right, let's go with Gallant. We're going with Gallant here.
Right show, wrong host.
I knew it.
This feels like Vanessa all the way because Paul feels like the type of person that would make fun of draft day, and then Vanessa would defend it because it had some touching moments.
Jeremy and Joel, do you have any confidence? You just get upset when he makes a pick.
No, because well, I was gonna stop Jeremy and say, but what about his co-host? But yeah, and then when Cody said I was mad that I didn't speak up.
All right, the answer.
I mean, I cried watching draft day. It does not take that much to make me tear up.
Wow.
Whew.
Knotted it up in the third, baby.
This means nothing to us, by the way.
Good call.
We're not
good
competitive call.
Knotted
either.
It up in the third.
Good call.
Cody, I should warn you.
That conviction for you, though, had me fooled. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Our rules are a tie goes to the defending champ.
Yeah, it's a draw.
Yeah, you have to beat the champion. Yeah. To be the man, you got to beat the man. It's not tie the man.
Does this guy look like he needs the rules of combat sports? No.
I'll say this, though. If I tie, I'm not wearing the singlet for the show.
That's fair.
Number four. I thought when two people bonked, they were doing the dirty.
I'm sorry, what? Bonked?
I'm sorry, what?
I thought when two people bonked, they were doing the dirty.
Hmm. Okay. This feels like something that maybe somebody had misconstrued on a social media thing and was just kind of running with it, pretending like they knew what was going on and someone had to explain it to them. I'm going to go with Vanessa on this one. This feels like one of those like innocent moments where she kind of maybe forgot or was trying to play dumb or didn't know.
I'm just
going to
tell you that bonked sounds like an Indiana response.
Yeah.
So you think she would know?
The phrasing, too, feels like a family.
I think the phrasing alone thinks that sounds like it would be Vanessa.
Feels like a home.
The term bonked.
But if it's an Indiana term, she would know that.
Feels like a home that watched a lot of Newlywed Game.
That's a good point.
And maybe has said bonked before, and then she just forgot that it means getting it on.
See, I'm thinking here, like, Granato's a bit of a boomer, so he doesn't really know new terms. Lance is cool, so he knows cool words. It can't be Vanessa, because we can't pick Vanessa,
right?
Because Stoots did.
Lance is cool, because he knows cool words, okay?
One of many reasons, one of a myriad of reasons.
Yeah, Paulie's
so
hip.
It's got to be either Granato or Paul. Like, do you think PC would say something like that? PC would know what that means. PC knows every dirty word in the English language. So definitely not PC. I think it's either Granato or Paul.
Mm.
Well, how do you feel?
One of those people would be my second choice.
Which one?
I'm not telling you.
You call it. You can call this one.
You going to use my line on me?
Right
show, wrong host?
This isn't an opinion.
He's leading
prediction.
You. That's
a bad one. This isn't an opinion. This is a prediction. Let's go, Granato.
We're back.
I thought when two people bonked, they were doing the dirty.
We didn't have a chance anyways. Nope. We didn't have a chance. All right, so Stutes is up 2-1 going into the fifth and final round. We have to... It doesn't
push.
Matter.
Stutes, we need a push.
Guess here.
We're the champions. We still win if there's a push.
Yeah, Brendan.
And you have the chance to...
I'm just reiterating it.
You have the chance to do that without giving Cody any chances.
Yeah, Cody, okay, there you go. It doesn't even matter, really, what Cody guesses here.
Number five, what do I look like? Somebody who buys farts in a bottle?
What? Why are you giggling? Because you like the quote?
Yeah, that's a good quote. That's a very good quote.
Any idea?
Well, my initial reaction would have been BK, and I can't pick him because it sounds like BK in a nutshell.
It does sound like a BK quote. We can't pick BK.
BK has two of these stories ready for quick hits today at 6:30. So
farts in a bottle?
No, even worse.
Give me it one more time, Brendan.
What do I look like? Somebody who buys farts in a bottle?
It's either Lance or Granato, right? Or Paul.
I think Paul. I think Paul could be in the mix.
All right, you call this one. I called the last one.
No pressure, guys. I mean,
this. You know what though?
Your
you know what though?
Yeah. What?
I think.
What, though?
I think that this fits in perfectly with a story off of News from the Weird.
Oh.
Yeah, and so someone read it, Granato.
Oh.
Someone commented on it.
Oh.
Lance.
Well, I'm sold. You could. I mean, I'm an impressionable young man. So yeah, sure.
So it's one of the two. You think that was the initial comment or Granato fighting back saying, what do I look like? Someone that would buy farts in a bottle.
We could, since we narrowed it down to the bench, we could go with the guy that hadn't been used.
Is that John?
Yeah. Because Lance said the sandal thing. So yeah.
Okay. We'll go John.
Cody doesn't even need a guess. So
well, if I guess it and get it right, it's a dominant victory for me. I'll go Patrick, even though I think you guys guessed the correct answer.
What do I look like? Somebody buys fart in a bottle.
Dang it!
Whoa!
It's Paul, right? It's Paul.
No, it's LZ.
That was Lance?
Yeah.
Wow, the line of thinking was correct.
Yeah.
But the answer was not.
Congratulations.
Which means...
Way to go.
That the wheelhouse is Cody Stutes, which is me, is the champion. The champ. Just
wanna,
like I said I
you
would.
You want to get up and dance for the
I
cameras?
I came in here, and I won this sucker just like I said I would. With a tear in my eye. I... And the greatest.
Get it up.
Who
get
said
off.
It?
Get him off. Hurry
champion
up.
Of all time.
Throw it to break.
Coming up next, woo! Expectations for this season for the Rockets. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Keith just texted into our show, 713-780-ESPN. He must have been watching Twitch while Cody... Congratulations to Cody Stutes of the Wheelhouse, the new Who Said It champion. Can't wait for the rematch next Friday.
Yep.
He can't duck us. But anyways, Keith must have been tuning into the Twitch. He said, dang, Cody, I thought my wife was big.
He put his name on that?
It's a tad rude.
That's awful.
It's a tad rude.
He put his name on that
text. Keith. His name's Keith.
Not the smartest move in the world.
Keith may be sleeping on the couch and making his own meals for a while.
Man, I feel bad for Mrs. Keith if you have to deal with this from Mr. Keith. But how dare you say that about Cody? How dare you say that about Mr. Stutes?
He's lucky he won because he was in the restroom trying to get out of that singlet. Said he couldn't breathe.
It would have been tough on the wheelhouse, but he got us. Congratulations to Cody. He is the new Who Said It champion. Rematch coming up next Friday. Counting down the... Actually, yeah, next Friday. Maybe.
We'll be out next Friday, so it's going to probably be 2 weeks.
Okay, so Brendan... Brendan... We'll also be on remote. We'll be over at Cobos. So
yeah,
we right. won't... probably,
oh, by the way, shout out to Cobos Q.
It.
Yeah, July 1st, we are heading to Cobos Q. Can't wait to get back there. Boy, the place, Raul's done a great job. The food is always outstanding and off the charts. But now, I mean, the fact with baseball season and being in and around the stadium area, too, that's awesome.
I saw a picture of the wings. and I plan on trying the wings.
You know, I do the quesadillas. They're awesome.
I've never had a bad bite of food there.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to trying the wings. All right, Houston Rockets draft yesterday. Three guys in the first round. I like that they kept all three picks, especially what you got. Can't believe they got Jabari Smith. I'm still in a little bit of disbelief with that because I think he is the best player in this draft, and we'll show that. I think he has elite potential as well. But also, Tari Eason there at 17, Cincinnati kid originally, transferred to LSU, then Ty Washington. How does this change the expectations this season? Here's Rafael Stone yesterday, who I still think is realistic about the upcoming year.
Well, it's like be fun, be exciting, play really hard, and improve every day.
Be fun, play really hard, improve every day.
That's going to be the new marketing slogan.
It's like what Caserio said, though. I think it will be the new marketing slogan, but it's kind of like what Caserio said at the start of the 2021 year. It's more about the process than it is about the results, and I'm okay with that.
I mean, look, the biggest thing to me is they're doing this the right way. It doesn't matter how they got to who they got to last night. They got the guys that are the best fit for this organization to keep going in the right direction. We already have expressed to you they couldn't go any further down because of the fact that they were in a straight from the rip it down to the studs rebuild. And they still were hanging on to veterans that were just slowing down the process while dragging everybody around them down. They've gotten rid of one. There's another one that I think can go easily between now and the start of camp. And the third one's going to be a challenge, but if he's open to a buyout in John Wall, you could eliminate and rid yourself of a ton of what's slowing you down right now to get to guys that want to be here. Because I truly think that now with the roster that you have and that you are going to develop, there are going to be plenty of guys in this league that go, I want to play with those dudes. Because it doesn't matter what age they are. They're ballers. They can play.
Yeah, see, I think we're pretty similar with the expectations. I saw a few rogue tweets after the draft. Oh, Rockets are going to contend for the 10th spot, play-in spot. BK, whenever we talked to him the other day in crosstalk, he mentioned the idea that they'll be like in that race, which, I mean, if the Spurs last year won 30-something games. I think the Rockets are going to win 30 games. So if that 10th spot's around 30, 35 wins, I think the Rockets would be in that race this year, but I don't expect them to be a top 10 seed this year, and I'm okay with that. And it's something we've talked about a lot. The Rockets have their first rounder for one more year. Look, I don't necessarily want, especially because it's the lottery, and you never know how the lottery is going to go, and also the top four teams all have the same chances of getting the number one pick. If the Rockets over exceed expectations next year, and I'm saying like 30 wins. I'm not saying 42 wins or, you know, trying to be the number seven seed in the playoffs. I'm saying over exceed expectations to the sense of 30 wins because they've hit home runs on Jabari Smith. Jalen Green looked really good in year two. So it's like the Texans conversation we always have. It's more about the eye test, how they look, how they're developing, how they're gelling together. Does Steven Silas look like he can be a very good basketball coach? Is he really a high offensive IQ head coach as well and can draw up some schemes for this team that's going to score a lot of points? Do you see more effort and attitude defensively? Do you not have the worst defense in the NBA like you did last season? So next year, for me, it's not so much about the wins. It's, again, seeing that development and seeing the growth of the Rockets.
I can't keep reiterating this enough. These are two mirror franchises that have started in the exact same spot, or in the case of the Texans, maybe even worse than getting back to square one because of what they had to dig out of. But the fact is that as we watch the progression of these two teams and we see the development of the players within them, you can start to see a light at the end of the tunnel. And as Nick Caserio would say with the Texans, just like Rafael Stone is trying to tell you right now, we are not going to be judged by wins and losses, nor should we. But if we continue to see the development of the players that we are starting to use as a base for what we want to do in the future, then we are in a good spot that's only going to get better. And at a time when the Western Conference is loaded up, you shouldn't be worried about getting into the play-in game this year. You should be worried about the fact that after next offseason, you don't have your own pick or control of it for quite a while. So it's imperative that you continue to show development in other ways than in the win column.
Where do you want the Rockets picking next year?
I mean, ideally, and that's also because you're at the liberty of the lottery balls. I would say one more year in the top five would be great.
See, I think that's certainly, like, I think top five would be a spot that you're at as well. Like, I really don't want to see the Rockets outside of the lottery. And it's because you have, like, I'm a little torn on that because I really am bullish on Jabari. It's not hyperbole. I really think he's going to be a very good player in the NBA. So if they surprise me and sneak into the 10th spot and all of a sudden are in a playoff game, which I think is far-fetched, to be completely honest with you, but I would be excited for that. I'm not going to lie. Like, if the Rockets miss out on the lottery because they sneak into the 10th spot in the Western Conference and maybe they win a game or two and all of a sudden they're in the real playoffs and they miss out on the lottery because of that, I would actually be all right with that because I like the young talent on this
team. Can I tell you something? The other reason why it would be great if it's another top five pick? Because you can trade it for a veteran. Because it also gives you more collateral when you're trying to make a move. Because you already got a plethora of young kids, right? But we just said you want to get the right veterans in here now to kind of be a good mix with the young locker room that you have. It's going to be more enticing for a team to part with a veteran player, especially if they have ability. If you can give them something that they otherwise wouldn't be in line to get, which is a lottery pick or a top five pick, and you probably could get a little extra for that. So if you can do that and have that in your back pocket when you're trying to get the right guys that are going to be open-minded and positive about coming to Houston to play with Jalen Green and company, then more power to you. That's better for you than saying, you know, you can have our first this year. It's the only one we got for a while. It's going to be 17.
I think it's interesting to monitor what's going on in Brooklyn, too, because you have the rights to their first-rounders for the next, I think, 6 years. So that's going to be an interesting situation. Hopefully Kyrie gets out of there, Durant demands a trade, and all of a sudden you're looking at a middling Eastern Conference team. 713-780-ESPN. People on the text line, 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. They're asking us what we thought of what Drexler had to say this morning on the bench. Let's discuss that next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We had some people on the HRMP listener line text in, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Earlier today on the bench, the guys had Hall of Famer Clyde Drexler, champion for the Houston Rockets, and of course went to the greatest university on this universe, University of Houston. But he had some thoughts about the Rockets offseason and some thoughts about Christian Wood.
Well, John, you know I'm a huge Rockets fan. I love the Rockets. I grew up in Houston rooting for the Rockets since they played in Hawthorne's Pavilion, right? So I have been a staunch Rockets fan forever. And let me tell you something. I just don't understand the direction they're going from a leadership position. You know, when you don't have a lot of weapons and then you give up one of your big weapons, you don't have a lot of good big players. And you give up Christian Wood, and you last couple of years you come in DFL. I want to beat you when you're down, but I mean that's not a. If I'm a season ticket holder, it's like, are we trying to compete? Are we trying to win? Or what are we doing here? So from a leadership standpoint, I don't know what direction we're going in, and it hurts me because it could be something that turns into something very nice, and Jabari could be a part of it. But I just don't know what we're doing. I have no clue. As a basketball expert, I am baffled.
DFL, what does that mean, Blinkers?
Dead freaking last.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing, Jeremy. There's a lot to uncover here. I think we all know Clyde was a Les Alexander guy. And Clyde was watching every game when he was working for AT&T Sportsnet. And now he's the commissioner of the Big Three. And things have changed. And I get it. And I think, you know, Chuck and I were just having this conversation to some degree on Twitch where I think for the common fan, AJ called me from Vegas, too, and said, God, the Rockets got fleeced in this trade. I said, you can say that if you just look at the double-double, the averages for Christian Wood, and think, well, they gave up a good player and didn't get enough in return. But if you watched and you listened to us and you know the kind of backstory of who Christian Wood really is, you watched how he disappeared in fourth quarters, you watched the pout-a-thons and the tantrums and all the things in between when he didn't get his way or didn't get his numbers, you fully start to realize that this was way more than just about a 20-10. This was about a guy that was a square peg in a round hole for a lot of reasons and more, starting with the fact that you were developing a young roster of sub-21-year-olds, and the last thing they need to be around on a daily basis is a guy like Christian Wood.
Let's eliminate what you got in return for Christian Wood for just a moment, and let's eliminate the Christian Wood contract for just a moment, because Christian Wood's contract, I think, is one of the biggest reasons that you traded Christian Wood. You weren't going to re-sign him, and he's about to enter the final year of his deal. So if you want a return on the investment, you have to trade Christian Wood. If not, you're going to let him walk for free, and you're going to have zero return. So the contract makes it obvious why you would trade Christian Wood. The second part that I think you can look at without the finances involved and not the return involved into this conversation for just a moment, you just got lucky to get Jabari Smith at number three, who we think is the best player in the draft, who we both think has elite upside, both on the defensive side of the floor and the offensive side of the floor. If Christian Wood is on this team next year, how much does that impact the development of Jabari Smith?
Yeah, he's completely limited. And we said that thinking it was going to be Paolo. We said, if you're going to draft one of the three, whichever one is left over, no matter who it was, and you want to get to see who they really are and throw them into the fire so you could tell how they handle the flames, they're going to have to play. So we knew no matter who was going to be drafted, and it didn't matter of the three guys, they were going to draft a big that needed minutes that Christian Wood currently occupied and wasn't willing to give up, because we knew that too.
The other part of that I wanted to get to with where Clyde's at, because to me it's a no-brainer. You Christian Wood, final year of the deal. You're not going to re-sign him. You get something back, which in this case was a late first-round draft pick that you picked a project player for. We don't know if Ty Washington's going to amount to anything. I like the lottery ticket that Ty Washington is, because I don't think we've realized his potential, whether it's good, whether it's bad, to be quite honest with you. But the minutes it opens up is something that it's too valuable to not trade Christian Wood. The usage as well. Christian Wood, pretty high usage player. Ball gets into his hand. It also gets a little bit sticky. So now you open up those minutes for whoever you are going to draft at number three. It's lucky enough that it is Jabari Smith. But the second thing that I wanted to get to with what Clyde had to say there, talking about, I don't know if the Rockets are trying to win. See, that's where I would disagree with Mr. Drexler, one of my favorite people in the world, go Cougs, is the fact that I do think that the Rockets are trying to win. But the philosophy for them to win is not next year. They're not trying to win next season. Hey, if you win 30, 35 games, that's great, because their young players are over-exceeding their expectations. The Rockets do want to win. They just want to win in 3 to 5 years. Right. That's when they feel like their window is open, and they feel like to optimize that window and optimize their ability to win at a very high level, which Texans take notice, is to go with this youth route until you're to a spot where you can spend the money on veteran free agents. You can use your draft capital to trade for veterans, to bring into a young nucleus. To me, you either got to be really good or really bad. You don't want to be stuck in the middle with a clown to the left and a joker to the right, right? You got to be really good, you got to be really bad, and then until you're not really bad anymore is when you start to get aggressive trying to win.
Yeah, and look, I think Clyde was also kind of pointing the finger at a guy in stone that he's worked with before, that Clyde's an old school guy. You've got to have a resume and pay your dues in order to get to where you're in a position to make decisions. And it shouldn't be that you just followed a guy around for a year and suddenly you were anointed the general manager and making decisions. And he's been critical of that. I've been critical, but I've been critical in an honest way. When he killed the draft a year ago, I gave him full props. When he let John Wall get paid to be a healthy scratch every day and let him come around whenever he wanted in beach gear or to play one-on-one with Jalen Green, I called him out on it. But I think from Clyde's perspective, he doesn't see – he's going to, from a players' association perspective,
yeah,
he's going to protect the veteran player too,
sure,
and think that veterans getting double-doubles are the way that a franchise should continue to lean on and not have to do what you just said. Old school guys don't believe in a rebuild and don't believe that there's either you're really good or you're really bad and the guys in the middle get punished. They believe that if you've got a veteran or two, you're two steps beyond or two steps closer to being a good team. And that's just not the way the NBA operates anymore.
I think some of it's box score analysis, because you look at Christian Wood's stats and you don't watch the games. It's like, oh, wow, Christian Wood looks like a really good player. He's 20-10, can knock down the three ball. Why wouldn't you want Christian Wood? And I do think it helps Dallas.
They needed it. They saw what they needed. It was on the high side. If they could afford a trade and match numbers for Rudy Gobert, that's who their ideal was. If not, they needed a better shooting stretch four that when Luka opens up the floor and gets a double team, can knock down a shot, and they found their guy.
Yeah, so I just think it's, you know, Clyde looking at the veterans, looking at the box score and seeing a player with good numbers and maybe not realizing the contract situation or getting the minutes to the young players.
I think, too, it's the fact that Clyde not being around the team every game anymore,
sure,
doesn't realize what Christian Wood is and does off the floor.
If I was, I mean, if I was in Clyde's shoes and I had other responsibilities, I was the commissioner of the Big Three and I was golfing every day, I probably wouldn't watch the Rockets every day too, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, but here's the other thing too. On top of everything I've said about Christian Wood, he disrespected his coach who tried to cover his ass in the middle of the year last year. And we had questions about whether Steven Silas would be back. When Rafael Stone made a commitment to Steven Silas, I think at that point he almost committed to having to move Christian Wood in the offseason, because Steven Silas tried to, no matter what he said and did to Steven Silas, Steven Silas tried to cover for him for being late for two practices and a COVID test. And in response, he blew up at the entire locker room, had a tantrum, stormed off, said he'd never play for the franchise again. And even still, they tried to even not suspend him. They suspended him for one game. They should have sent him home for the rest of the season. But with that being said, when that was done, the deed was done. He was gone at the end of the year.
As far as Rafael Stone goes, I think he's done a tremendous job, if I'm being completely honest with you, with this rebuild. Like, having the philosophy of, okay, James Harden's demanding a trade. We have to move on, figure out the best way of how we're going to be a winner at a high level again. The one move that I look at with criticism for Stone, because I thought he did, I mean, this year's draft, it kind of fell into his lap, but hey, you're going to get credit for that. Last year, Jalen Green fell into his lap, but hey, you're going to get credit for that. The only move that I looked at Rafael Stone where I'm like, yeah, I wish you could have that one back, is really the Russell Westbrook trade, because of what it cost you with John Wall. But I really don't think he mishandled John Wall so much of keeping him, like, I get not playing him because you wanted the young guys to get the minutes, not John Wall, who you have zero, you know, desire of him being part of your long-term plans. I would have just told him to go home like Deshaun Watson, though. I wouldn't have had him around. I just don't think that there was another scenario to get John Wall off the books.
There was conversations to be had about a buyout and understanding to get here, you've got to give me this.
Right.
And the fact that he said he wants to be known as a players type general manager, I would say, and you and I disagree on this, I would say it's like when we looked at Nick Caserio. I break it up into parts. I think how he's handled the last two drafts has been incredible.
Sure.
It's been fantastic. And you're right. Two of the picks fell into his lap, but guess what?
It's part of it.
That's the way it goes, right? I think that
Jordan fell into a lot of the guys,
you went and traded for a guy like Şengün. He's turned out to be really, really good. So I give him full credit on how he's handled the drafts. I don't think you got enough for Harden. I don't think the way you handled the Harden and the subsequent trades to follow.
That's where we disagree.
Yeah,
I'm okay with the Harden
I don't think
trade.
You got enough back in terms of the centerpiece of the trade, aside from the picks, was it started out to be the potential of a nucleus of three young players that had the ability to be here for a long time. It then transitioned to Victor Oladipo, which transitioned to Kelly Olynyk, and I think you could have gotten more. But I agree with you. From the trade perspective, there's some things to be desired. And also from the fact that I believe he's too concerned with being a player's GM or trying to, for what it means to players and agents, you represent the franchise. And so you got to be with the franchise and go, you know what, dude, I appreciate the fact that you want to start, but you're making $47 million. You should do whatever we ask you to do.
But it also takes two to tango. And Wall has reportedly said that he's not going to take a dime less, that he wants the full contract.
This is the first time, as he opted in this year, that he and Rich Paul said, if you can't trade me, which I don't know how the hell they're going to do, but if you can't trade me, then we will discuss a buyout.
So I also I get it from a Stone point of view. If Wall wants every dime to be bought out, then no, I'm not doing that.
No, but to your point, I'm good if you just said, you know what, I'm going to send
away.
You home.
Yeah, Deshaun him.
But the fact that you said, no, I want to be John, we welcome you at practice. We want you to sit on the bench. I don't want you around these young kids because you're disgruntled.
See, that's where I agree with that. Now, as far as being like a player's GM, if it gets you a superstar in 3 years, I would actually say that it worked, right?
It could. I mean, look, it still could work out very, very well because of the fact that when you get Wall off the books, no matter whether you send him home or he's just lingering around,
you have money.
When you get him off the books, you can now fortify your roster where the draft won't allow you to, thanks to Daryl Morey. And that's where, again, Stone can earn his money, but he can get the guys he's missing. Because I think that when we talked about the draft last night, the one thing that everybody said, they got everything they needed. No, because the one thing they still need is just spot shooters that are going to be role players. You can find those in free agency a lot easier than trying to pick apart a draft, and I think you can still get those guys when you get Wall's money.
Rome wasn't built in a day, right, Joel. Rome was not built in a day. 713-780-ESPN. The Astros have made it official. Jake Meyers has been called up. He'll probably be in the lineup today. Who did the Astros send down? Who was the man going down to Sugar Land? Also, we'll talk to Jake about this Astro-Yankee series. Fair take, Jake. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Well, you know what that means, that song, Ace of Spades. It's JV Day. Justin Verlander gets the start tonight, second game of the four-game set for the Houston Astros. I don't know who he has behind him. I mean, Presley's went back-to-back days, Montero, Neris, Stanek. Good luck. Maybe it's Brian Abreu to lock down the ninth inning today. Luis Severino.
Please don't. Just don't.
It might be, though.
Just don't.
But it might be.
No, it's Seth.
Okay. Seth has the, I believe he has the second longest scoreless streak in all of baseball.
Yeah, he's dealing. Yeah. I mean, his ERA is sub one, so I like it.
He's got like a 12-pitch mix. Luis Severino gets the start for the New York Yankees. Couple of roster moves. Jake Meyers, it's official. He is now with the team. The Astros having to make some corresponding moves. First, the 40-man roster had to clear a spot there. Dylan Thomas, the kid they picked up from the Angels a couple weeks ago. Yep. Like, why are you picking him up? They DFA him, so he gone.
Local kid.
And going down to AAA, where's he from?
Channel 2 had it on the news.
Area?
He is a Houston area high school kid, yep.
Well, not with the Astros anymore, unless he accepts his assignment. The Astros optioning Jose Siri down to AAA. A little surprising to me. I thought it'd be JJ here, and then you make the decision between Chaz and Siri later. But no, Astros sending down Jose Siri to AAA to activate my second favorite, Jake Meyers, who should be patrolling center field for the Astros tonight.
Am I your number one Jake, then?
My favorite Jake is Jake Overeasy, who should be called up to the... I'm just kidding. Jake Asman is joining us now. One of the Wheelhousemen. Fair take, Jake. You can listen to him each and every day, 3 to 7, on the Wheelhouse. What were your thoughts yesterday? You see Aaron Hicks hit that three-run homer. What was your reaction?
You celebrated, right?
Well, bullpen better be getting up if you're the Astros. I thought you could argue after the first two walks, you could start to see Presley didn't have it.
Fair.
So maybe you get someone going there. Also, I mean, we'll talk more about this on our show. Dusty Baker's got to walk Aaron Judge when it's 3-0.
Yeah,
you cannot pitch to the best hitter in baseball this year with a 3-0 count. I'll take my chances with Anthony Rizzo over Aaron Judge in that spot.
Once my thought with that was, like, if you want to go pitch around Aaron Judge for a couple of pitches, that's dangerous. You're playing with fire. But, okay, let's see if he chases one 6 inches off the plate.
If he does you a favor and you get up in the count, it might change your philosophy.
Stanek was afraid to go after him. He threw him three splitters to start it off.
I thought to me that was the intentional walk, which I wasn't a fan of. Like, you should be doing that with Aaron Judge in that spot.
Bust him in. Make sure he can't extend his arms. Bust him in no matter what you're throwing. And hope that he gets in a situation where he's already starting to go and he's got a swing.
But even that, you're working around the zone. You're not throwing
right,
him a strike.
Absolutely.
And once you get to a 2-0 spot, not even 3-0, once you get to a 2-0 spot, you shouldn't throw him another pitch, much less another strike. I thought Dusty had a bad spot there. I thought he had a terrible answer to it, too. No, I didn't think about doing that. But
think it's because he does not like Chandler Rome with the Chronicle.
That's probably fair.
So when Chandler asks him like situational questions, Dusty always gives that guy an attitude, and it makes Dusty sound like an idiot because then when you talk about it on a radio show the next day, you're like, well, I mean, it was a fair question. I don't care if you don't like the reporter. You got to know that question's going to be asked.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it in that spot. Then you threw some strays at Tony La Russa. I didn't love that he didn't bunt in the eighth inning.
No, that was a stray at the media for having the audacity, the gall to question Tony La Russa. That's what he was actually defending La Russa there. I thought.
You think?
I don't. I thought he decided to throw a little shade Tony's way
because everyone was questioning La Russa for what he
right.
did.
He didn't like the fact that La Russa got questioned,
right.
but it was a double whammy. He got to kind of.
I took it the other way. I thought it was like, who are you guys? Peasants that you are in the media to question us.
Dylan Thomas went to Westbury Christian.
Okay. Yep. Very good.
I looked it up and Chuck twitched us.
So, I agree with you there. Ryan Presley, I think, has been demoted to he's still the closer, but he's been demoted to the idea of he should never pitch back-to-back days again.
That's a problem. playoff games, you might recall, need your closer to go back-to-back days.
He also has, it seems, and Mad Dog Russo said this, he has an issue with the Yankees if you go back and look at the stats.
His career ERA against the Yankees is like 5-something.
It's just another reason why Click's got to be scouring, looking for bullpen help, because for both of the reasons, if he can't pitch 2 days in a row, that's a problem. If he can't pitch on the biggest stage with the brightest lights against the team that's going to be your biggest rival heading towards another World Series, that's a bigger problem.
Agreed. And especially tonight, you brought it up. Verlander needs to give them a lot of length because who are you giving the ball to after 7th, 8th inning if he doesn't get you to at least that part of the game later?
Well, Jeremy's a big Brian Abreu guy.
I am. His numbers are terrific.
They're phenomenally, analytically, this dude is on his game.
His percentiles, if you look at Baseball Savant, he's like a really good reliever. Now, he's young, and he still needs to, you know, earn his stripes a little bit more. But, you know, how do I feel about him against the Yankees if he's closing a one-run game in the ninth? I don't know if I love that. So did you love that Yankees win yesterday?
I mean, I didn't hate it as someone who is from New York, that's for sure.
I saw that they Aaron Judge and the Yankees, they agreed to terms today.
They did.
To avoid arbitration.
Which common sense prevails, I'd say, with that.
It's weird to me that they're doing this middle of the year. I know it's because of the lockout and all of that, but you have Aaron Judge, who's potentially the MVP in the American League right now, and they're going to court over like $2 million.
It's weird the hearing comes. Once the season starts, it should be off limits.
Well, it's because of the lockout. That's why.
Right. Yeah, it's still very uncomfortable because he's got to try and, you know, hold his ground and say, you know, from a negotiation standpoint, but he's still on the roster and he's a Yankee.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic too because nothing he does in the 2022 season could be used to argue his case. But if you're an independent arbitrator, how do you not let that factor in that the guy is likely the front runner right now to win the MVP?
And the second part of that is, like, there's three arbitration years, right? But this is the final arbitration year. Aaron Judge is going to be a free agent this offseason. So you would think that the Yankees front office would be like, look, Aaron Judge, to curry favor, we're going to side with you here. Maybe you can give us some favorable negotiations once you're a free agent.
Well, he ain't going anywhere. There's no way they let Aaron Judge get out of New York. I just don't think there's any way possible.
San Francisco is my prediction.
But name the player the Yankees wanted they let walk. But they wanted. You could say, oh, Robinson
you agree
Canola.
With me, though, Jay? He ain't going anywhere.
I'd be stunned. If
yeah,
like,
I agree. I
Justin mean, Verlander.
They didn't want him, though. They never had
and
him.
And he wanted to play for a winner.
They never had him.
They never had him. Name me a homegrown Yankee.
I'm trying
that
to
they,
think.
He's the most popular New York Yankee since Derek Jeter. They're not letting him walk.
Robbie Cano.
They didn't want him.
They didn't want Robbie?
No, they offered 7 years. Seattle gave 10. They're like, okay, see you later.
Gary Sanchez.
They traded him.
I know.
They grew to dislike him.
Brian Gardner.
Who?
You mean Brent Gardner?
Brent Gardner.
You, who?
Think of.
Brent Gardner?
Gardner. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, Gardner.
He had a chance, apparently, to play for Toronto and Atlanta. He said no. He's just sitting on the couch right now.
Really?
Yeah.
What's
he was offered $6 million to play for Toronto, and he turned it down.
I missed that guy beating up the top of dugouts after
he was notorious for that.
Brent Bang.
A maniac. yesterday, NBA draft. Was there a scenario that existed that you felt that Jabari Smith would be a Houston Rocket?
No, the Rockets had an all-time draft. I said this yesterday. Sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good.
Mm-hmm.
They were lucky. Nobody saw that coming. Even yesterday, BK was like, well, what if Woj is wrong? All right, well, then is Chet going to end up being a Rocket? Like, the fact that they got Jabari, the guy who was, I mean, throughout this whole process, it felt like he was a lock to go number one. For him to be there at three, let alone, oh, it's, well, number two, of course you pounce on it. For him to survive the first two picks, I mean, if you're a Rockets fan, got to be giddy today. What a draft last night.
Because we all saw that, right? We saw the Woj. Okay, well, they're going to go with Banchero. And BK was kind of all over it yesterday, right? He said, oh, I got a feeling that Banchero is not going to be there with the Rockets.
But he thought
pick.
It was going to be Chet.
Yeah, he was halfway there.
Yeah.
Like, he was halfway home. He was right about Banchero. He just wasn't right on which of the three was going to be there at number three. It happened to be Jabari, who I think is the best player in this draft. But he was halfway home. But for that moment that you saw Orlando was going Banchero, like, and we didn't know what Oklahoma City was doing in that point, like, were you trying to talk yourself into the idea of Chet Holmgren donning the Houston Rocket gear?
I was pro Chet, so I was okay with it. Because to me, in the NBA, in that sport more than other ones, you don't win unless you have absolute superstars. Mm-hmm. So when I hear, well, Chet's ceiling is that he could be baby Giannis, as Jay Billis said on our show, sign me up if the Rockets could actually develop him and he could get to that level. But I feel a lot better about Jabari Smith knowing that he's the pick at number three.
See, I disagree with Billis about him being baby Giannis. So, like, my ceiling for Chet was a lot different than Jay's ceiling for Chet. And I look at Jabari's ceiling versus Chet's ceiling. Jabari's going to be a better defensive player, no doubt about it. And then I look at the offensive end. I don't see one thing that Chet does or can do that Jabari doesn't do or can't do.
I like Jabari a lot. And we have Bruce Pearl's coach coming up on the show today at 3:30. I mean, he talked about the fact that this kid is going to be extra motivated that he was passed over by two teams.
Yeah, what did you say yesterday about these radio guys that don't really know when they're analyzing the
frauds? The guys? He said they're frauds.
Yeah, they're
frauds. Anybody who talks about the prospects in the NBA draft that acts like they know what they're talking about are fraud.
No. I think it's sports radio in general, when it comes to NBA draft breakdowns, are pretty fraudulent. Someone like you who actually follows college basketball, you're the voice of the Houston Cougars, it's different. My general point was, we don't really know how any of these guys are going to work. We're watching YouTube highlights.
You get a pass,
and that's
Jeremy.
It.
Yeah. Well, you don't know anything about basketball.
I don't know anything about basketball.
You really don't. No, that's I did take it that way for what it's worth. What's coming up? You mentioned Bruce Pearl. I'm excited
big
for
show.
That. What else is coming up? Oh. Man, you got a Murderer's Row. Bronx Bomber guest list.
Well, this is what happens when you suspend your producer for a couple days. He has a chance to look himself in the mirror and realize he needs to do a better job.
He just told you were number one.
He did.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Andrew. It's great to have
you
back.
He's kissing up even more.
He's booking guests at a high level. We got Bruce Pearl, head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Jabari Smith's coach, at 3:30. We have Buster Only talking Astros-Yankees at 4:30. And Tim McMahon talking Rockets draft at 5:30.
That's big.
That's very good. Will you ask him what his offensive ceiling is? Player comp for me.
Bruce Pearl?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because I think he could be Kevin Durant offensively. Hot take.
Really?
I just look at Kevin Durant's size coming out of UT.
It's easier to just say he doesn't have a ceiling right now. But that's a tough – I mean, for anybody, because Kevin Durant's so damn good.
Both 6'10", both shot the three-pointer at over a 40% rate in college. Now, Kevin Durant was better off the dribble getting to the rim. Jabari will need to add that element. But if he does, yeah, I think he could score at that level.
It's time for that if I'm a Rockets fan.
No doubt about it. I think I'm going to go see the Elvis movie this weekend, Blankers. I'll let you know all about
it on
Monday.
Just fill me in because I won't.
Well, you don't like Elvis? What's wrong with Elvis?
I didn't say there's anything wrong with Elvis. It just doesn't. I can't see sitting for 2+ hours in a theater to watch an Elvis movie.
Can't wait. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston. A jam-packed Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.